That was number three, right?
Yep.
We're gonna go to...
Okay, so now we're changing the order a little bit. And 23636.
Stonington?
I think he stepped outside the appellate.
Yes, sir.
The next one? Sorry about that.
That's okay.
Would you give your name, please, and spell your name?
Yes, my name's George Stamatine. Last name is S-T-A-M-A-T-I-E-N.
Thank you. Now, as I explained before, at this point, you each give a very brief opening statement, and then we go into more detail. So, your brief opening statement.
Well, I was charged with background for pistol permits, do pellet. He has a fairly extensive history with the police department, Stonington Police Department, going back to his juvenile years up until recently. It's just with the totality of the contacts and with some reference checks, we've decided to decline the issue of the permit.
Thank you. And your statement, sir? At this point, briefly, but your statement.
Briefly, I did have some trouble with the law when I was much younger. I gained a bad reputation with the Stonington Police Department. I've since turned my life around. I became a security guard, which is what prompted me to apply for my pistol permit. When they declined my application, they cited two arrests which were dropped. I was not convicted on either of those arrests. I've never been convicted of a violent crime, and I haven't been convicted of any crime since 2009, and that was DWI.
Okay, thank you. Sir?
That's true. We have, like I said, as I referred to earlier, we've had many contacts with him beginning, it's been over 20 years now, as a juvenile. I think that most things have been dropped or dismissed after going to meet certain requirements that he was required to meet. There's a, nothing on the record at this moment is an automatic disqualifier. What it came down to for us was just the amount of the contacts and the type of contacts they were. There were several several DUIs, several domestic incidents. One as recently as 2016. And then, you know, references within the police department, I spoke with many officers that have had, were involved in these contacts, and unfortunately for the appellate, none were supportive of issuing him this permit. I think that was the totality. Actually, there were a couple committals in there also, emergency committals, that we took into account also. And, just
what's
again,
that?
With all the, with everything in totality.
You'll get a chance to ask a quick question.
Emergency committals for what?
For psychiatric.
I think what you're going to have to do is say, on this date, he was arrested for this. If you have that, if you can legally do that on this date, he was committed for this, and this is what happened, and really present the case rather than generality.
And also, you really can't make reference to dismissed and erased cases unless you have the officer that was involved.
Or you were involved. Personally.
Yeah.
Okay. So... let's see, 2004, I'll be going back. I was not involved. It was an accident. We responded to, it wound up being a DUI. At the time, the appellant, became upset, obviously, that he was going to wind up being arrested. They asked him if he had any weapons on him. He says no. A short time later, he reaches in his pocket, pulls out a knife, points it at one of the officers. Officers there. It was a DUI in 2000.
And there was a there was a conviction with that case?
There was not. Okay.
I'm just saying.
Well, I'm just giving you a history of why we.
I know, but
it shows a history that he.
I understand, but you can't reference erased cases unless you were part of that case.
Can I say something?
You'll get your chance.
I would love to address that.
You will.
You know, that's part of it. You could, if the officers were here, they could testify to the events. So you have to limit your scope to convictions or records that aren't erased by statute.
So I just want to clarify. So no, I can't take into any other contacts with police department as far as behavior, That's what we denied.
Yeah, are those cases, if there's convictions or there's no issue with that?
If the officers who talked to you about the appellant's character and suitability were here, they could testify to why they think that.
Yeah. Or if he failed to disclose something that you found.
Certainly the emergency committals are not erased unless there was an arrest or something in there. But they would be fair game.
He found guilty of larceny at some point?
There was. That was with Groton Town. I believe it was a very minor incident. Again, like I said, there was a lot of contacts for us to go through, a lot of contact with the police department and some neighboring police departments. A minor larceny is not something that, you know, back in the day that we would consider, denying for. There was a marijuana charge in Rhode Island. Again, that's not something that we consider in the grand scheme as being a reason for us to deny the permit. Several DUIs, and there's one conviction that's on there that, it shows an alcohol abuse or an issue with alcohol.
There's a conviction with
a DUI.
Do you know when that was?
That was in 2008 conviction.
Did you say multiple? You referred to multiple DUIs?
There were multiple DUIs. That was the only one that is still on the record. So with that, I personally did not respond to every call. Obviously, I wasn't with the department at the time a lot of these calls were. But there were several domestic incidents at the house that did not wind at his home, that did not wind up in enforcement action. Like I said, there were two of them that resulted in emergency committals, which I can discuss those here. I believe they're in the packet also.
There's a reference to suicide.
2009. But I mean,
with
a detailed description.
No.
Yeah. Do we have a peer report or?
Yes, I have the.
Was that supplied to us?
I don't have the report that was right. The peer form itself. I don't have that. I have the officer's report here.
There's a reference to Father Hoare. Did the department refer him to Father Hoare, do you know?
I'm not aware of.
I went to Father Hoare, I'm sorry.
It's quite possible.
I know, it's tough to stay quiet, but you have to right now.
I apologize.
Yeah, it's quite possible they did. I don't know for sure if they did with Father Hoare. We were called to the house many times by his family that he lived with, asking for help, looking for help. Behavior he was exhibiting. they couldn't help it. He was, they claimed he was intoxicated a lot, depressed, threatening suicide. We were there several times for it. I do remember he did go to Father Hoare. Father Hoare did call us on one of the events. This was one specific in 2009. And I should say that the emergency, first emergency committal, we put out a welfare check for the appellant. I believe he was found in Rock City, and they committed him at that point from there. And then in 2009, we were called by Father Hoare, together with his family members, because they had found disturbing notes and material. They believed he was going to harm himself.
And what year was that?
This is 2009.
Now you may ask him questions.
Can I speak?
Right now, the procedure is to ask him questions about what you've just heard.
You will get your
opportunity. He wasn't here for any of this, so I don't blame him. It's nothing against you, sir.
No, this is your time. Hey, this is your time to ask him questions. You're going to get your chance to say whatever you want in a second, but now you're going to cross-examine. If there's something he said that you want to clarify, ask him the question, and then we'll move on from there.
Or if you don't,
that's fine.
It seems like you don't even have anything.
You can ask a specific question of him.
Or not. You can wait until it's your turn.
Maybe you want to wait until you put on your case.
I would like to give my version of events when I can do that.
Yeah, you have that next. Okay. Yeah,
just another minute.
Thank you.
Yeah. Does the board have questions for the panel?
I just have a general question. From what I understand, the most recent item in your record is 2016, and that's essentially 9 years ago. How do you factor in the passage of time?
It's factored, yes. Like I said, it's not one specific incident. It's not a certain period of time. It's the whole time. I wasn't comfortable signing off on it. And obviously, I don't have the authority to issue the temporary permit. That's our chief. But when discussed with my supervisor and with Chief Del Grosso, we decided that we weren't comfortable signing this. We take into account, so 2009, that was 2022. So, yeah, it was over probably a decade when that last case happened. In the meantime, we decided that from what we observed, the behavior hadn't changed enough where we felt that it was, we were comfortable signing off. We were not convinced.
But you had no contact with him during that?
The last 9 years?
No,
we have.
The last 9 years?
We have, yes, we have.
I thought there were references in 21 and 22.
There are. There are still several calls. Well, this, no arrests were made on these cases, but we respond to, it's we believe it still showed that he had a temper, had trouble managing his anger, managing conflict, and this was, a lot of the contacts were with neighbor disputes and also with his girlfriend, which were called in as domestic disturbances. When we got there, it was determined that no action was needed to be taken at the time, so, but there's the contacts still continue. Up until his application a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions from the board?
I understand what you're saying. But it's important. This is a hearing, and we need evidence of those things, dates and times, and
sure.
You're not giving that. What do you want your case to be? What do you want us to make our decision on, in other words, rather than just thought the generalities.
Okay.
And I know there's a lot in the packet, but we are on on record here, and it's important that whatever evidence is brought out.
Well, I was a little confused. I didn't realize we weren't allowed to discuss things that had been dismissed. I thought we would would still take those as consideration.
Well, again, you can if you have a legitimate way to get that information.
Correct. I don't have a witness with me.
Yeah. In a domestic case, there's often protective orders which are not erased as part of the case that you can talk about. I don't know if you have anything like that.
Well, do you know if there was a protective order?
There was a protective order issued.
And if you have the dates of that, that would be helpful.
That was issued in 2016. It was vacated in 2017. Lasted about a year, April of 2016. Vacated in March of 2017.
Now, so do you have a copy of the protective order?
I do not.
Because that would have charges and things on it that you could ask the appellant about that's not erased.
Okay. As recently as 2002, August 2002, responded to his home for domestic disturbance. There was no arrest. Alcohol was involved. It was a verbal argument determined to be.
2002 or
2002? Sorry, 22, sorry. August 22.
Was the appellant part of that?
Yes.
Okay, you said there was residence. Just want to make sure.
It was between him and his girlfriend.
And it was just a verbal domestic?
Determined to be, yes.
And you said alcohol was involved, but does that mean the appellant was using alcohol?
Yes,
or
both. Both. I apologize. I didn't include several of the cases that we responded to where it was determined no action was going to be taken. I didn't include that with the packet. I included more that were more egregious, I guess, at the time. Again, between June 2021 to May 2020, so a two-year period, responded to his home for domestic violence incidents, neighbor disputes. Again, no action was taken required at that time, determined by responding officers. The restraining order, I mentioned this, in 2016, which was a result of an arrest for breach of peace, assault, and strangulation third.
Any other questions for the town? Mr. Gray?
No.
Oh. Other questions? Okay, sir. Now it's your turn.
Can I make a statement?
Now you present your case. Mm-hmm.
I had prepared a written statement, but I'm just going to go from my heart.
That's the best way.
My mother was a very sick woman in body and in her mind. The doctors didn't think she was going to make it home, and she nearly died so many times before I was born. And she had this faith in doctors, and she really believed whatever they said. And at the time, everybody was being diagnosed with ADHD, and they put me on an ungodly amount of medication. I was on 60 milligrams of Adderall every day when I was 14 years old, and it kind of made me crazy. I was never violent, but she would call the police to our house because I refused to take the medication. I didn't want to take it. I hated it. And that was when I started my relationship with Stonington PD. I remember on one occasion, she had called Officer Weber to our home, and the phone rang, and I answered it, and she told me to put it down. And I said, "But can I take this call?" And she said, "No, put it down." So I tossed it underhanded into a pillow that was on the couch. And that was how I got my first domestic violence charge. And there was just a ton of that when I was a kid. And, you know, when I wrecked my mother's car, and we're talking about this knife, you know, it was this cheap novelty knife that I got at a flea market, you know, and I, when Officer Holeen asked me to empty my pockets, I had pulled out everything that was in my pocket. I had a Game Boy and a hacky sack and this stupid, if I attacked somebody with it, it probably would have broken. But the handle was pointing out. I was holding it by the blade. And he said I brandished it at him. And that was, there was a ton of incidents like that that I was getting picked up for when I was a kid.
When you say you were a kid, how old are you talking about?
The knife thing, I was 16.
It's a, just as you go, the first, put your age in there so we can see it in
the
context.
First domestic was when I was at 14, and this is, I literally tossed the phone, and that was enough for Officer Weber to make an arrest. And there was just a ton of stuff like that. When my mother died when I was 18, I was devastated, and I didn't know how to handle it, and I did. I became an alcoholic. I was heavily addicted to alcohol. I made a lot of bad decisions, and I owned up to it. I'm glad Stonington PD caught me for driving drunk, and I went to court, and I dealt with all that, and I resolved never to do anything like that again. And that was when I contacted Father Tom Hoare at Ender's Island. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it.
Yes.
I lived there.
You went into the recovery residence?
I lived there for 2 years. And I went to Lincoln Tech in East Windsor.
How old were you in those 2 years?
That was 20, 21, 22, something like that.
That's your age, not the year.
Yes, that was my age.
Yep.
The year was, I graduated in 2011.
And how old are you now?
38, 39?
39.
39. Yeah. I don't care anymore. I just don't care. But I mean, you know, there have been instances, these two arrests that they cited, I'm the one who called, you know? And I don't want to go into detail, but in both cases, I was the victim, and I thought I was doing the right thing by calling them. They ended up turning it around on me, tried to say I was doing these things. The prosecutor saw it for what it was, and they dropped it, both of those charges. These psychiatric things he's talking about, those were from when I was a kid. You know, I'm sure they made the decision at one point to have me committed. My aunt did it to me one time. I was never suicidal. I was never violent. In both cases, you know, you go to the hospital, they lock you in a room, straight jacket all night. Somebody comes in, says, how you feeling? Good. They let you go, you know?
There was a reference to a note, though. There was no note.
My grandmother had found some strange poetry or something. I don't know what I was thinking when I wrote it, but I did not intend to publish it. It was in these journals that I had. I kept them in a lockbox because I knew she was looking for stuff like, I don't know. My grandmother is a whole different story. She was very invasive. I never meant for anybody to see any of that stuff. It was not like a suicide note. It was maybe some dark poetry or maybe hip hop. I don't know what I was thinking at the time when I wrote it. I really don't. But she turned that stuff into the police, and I think maybe that's what they had me committed for. I mean, when we say committed, I went to the hospital overnight, and I was let go in the morning.
Did that happen before your time on Ender's Island or after?
This, pretty much everything besides these two arrests was before Ender's Island. At Ender's Island, I can't say enough nice things about them. I can't say enough nice things about Father Tom Hoare. It was the best opportunity I ever had in my entire life. I really turned my life around there, you know.
And you left there in 2011?
Yeah, around there. I mean, when I was there, I was living at the island. I was there for 6 months. Then I went to Lincoln Tech, and I was living. There was a program that Father Tom had started for college-aged young men at the time, and we were called the boys.
The recovery residents.
The recovery residents, yeah. And I went to stay with the parents of another one of the boys in East Hampton, Connecticut, and I was living there during the week and going to school. And I graduated in 2011. I went back to the island. I worked there for a little while, and then I moved to London. But I was still going to the island. I maintained contact with them for a long time, pretty much.
Did you go to AA there?
Yeah, definitely. That was part of it. I mean, yeah. Yeah.
What town do you live in now?
Currently, I live in Pawcatuck, Stonington.
Could you speak a little bit more about the domestic incidents with your female?
Yeah. The first one occurred in 2014. I had only known her a couple of months at that point. And she asked if she could bring a couple friends over to my house. And I said, sure. I'll spare you the details. They were very belligerent, all three of them. I asked them to leave. I did ask her to leave at some point because she was getting on my nerves too. But the guy she had brought over took offense at me asking him to leave, so he got a friend and came back to my apartment, and when I answered the door, he dragged me into the hallway and started beating me up. I almost got the better of him, but his friends started choking me. My neighbor witnessed all of this, but the police didn't want to talk to her. So I thought I didn't know these people. I'd seen the guy, I'd met him, he'd been introduced to me an hour before the incident, and now he's trying to kill me with this other guy I never met before. So I reported it. I thought I was doing the right thing by reporting it to the police. He got a $100 fine. They put out a warrant for my arrest and arrested me 6 months later. They didn't tell me about the warrant. So I was with Jennifer and her 7-year-old son when I bumped into a Stonington cop I knew, and I said hello, and she said, "We have a warrant for you." I don't even know what the charge was, but it was just so absurd that I was brought in on it. The prosecutor just said, "Oh, don't get in trouble, we'll drop it." So
was alcohol involved in?
I had had 2 beers that night. They were very drunk by the time they showed up. I had just worked a 40-hour week at Electric Boat. It was about 6 or 7 at night when this all happened. She asked if they could come over, and I said, sure. I'd had 1 beer at that point, and another beer when they got there. And then, I asked them all to leave, and then this guy came back and attacked me. And I'd had about, I think, 2, maybe 3 beers by the time the cops showed up.
Is that the 2016 incident?
That's the 2014 incident.
Okay.
Do you want to know about the 2016 incident?
Well, yeah, and also the more recent one, because...
That was the more recent one.
Okay.
You want, okay.
2016 is when the protective order was put in place, correct?
Yes, it was.
Does that involve the same person?
This involved the same woman. It was her birthday. So I was trying my very best to do whatever she wanted, and she was exhibiting signs, I would say. We had been together for 2 years at that point, and I had seen her become violent 2 or 3 times. In the day leading up to it, she was just upset about everything. She was screaming at me about everything. I told her, maybe I should just go home and not come back to your house, but that made her even more upset. You know, we did go out to a bar. I went back to her house before she did. When she came back, she was still upset and screaming, and she just started hitting me. She just started beating the hell out of me. And, you know, I grabbed her and I pinned her, and I said, I don't know what you're doing. I don't know where this is coming from. You can say whatever you want. You can be mean to me. You can call me names or whatever, but you can't hit me, you know? And when I let her go, she continued beating me. And it went on for about 45 minutes. And I would go to a different part of the house, and she would follow me and start hitting me again. And if I went to go to the door, she would block the door because she knew I wouldn't put my hands on her to get her out of the way of the door. Eventually, she left. She said she was going to her son's father's house. I immediately started calling everyone I knew, but it was around midnight. Nobody answered. I called Father Tom because I knew him, and I knew he would, I don't even know if it was good advice, because he told me that, you know, just to call 911 and get an ambulance, because I was bleeding at this point. My hand had been cut, and she had knocked my glasses off my head, so I couldn't really even see. But I called Father Tom, and he says, you know, call 911, get an ambulance, and go to the hospital just to get you out of there, because I didn't know where else to. It was this little house right next to the middle school, kind of in the woods.
How did the police get involved?
I called them. Okay. I called 911 because
did
I was.
Did you both get arrested?
No.
Just you?
Just me. I called them. I was all alone when I called them. And I explained the situation, said I need to go to the hospital just to get out of here. And
what happened in court?
They dropped it.
That can mean a lot of things. What happened? The NALI program? What?
Nothing.
But a protective order was issued.
Jennifer didn't want the protective order.
But it was, there was one
there
issue.
There was one issue.
That's routine in a domestic court.
Mm-hmm. Automatic.
Yeah. Sure. And I respected it. I didn't have any contact. I planned on never talking to her again, but...
Do you live with her now?
I do. yeah, I'm a fool, I know. But she was taking benzos at the time. She's not doing that anymore. And I had believed that when she got into that sort of state of mind that it was sort of out of her control, and that she couldn't. She had convinced me that when she got into these.
This is about you. So
I understand.
You're kind of wandering
yeah.
around, and we're talking about your behavior. So
I did the best I could in that situation. I called the police. I obeyed I obeyed the protective order. In all the evidence that was there, they didn't prosecute it because I'm not the one at fault.
Got it.
For clarity, what year?
That was 2016.
Okay. Are you still with this woman?
Yes.
How's your relationship been in the last 9 years?
I will admit that, you know, we have our ups and downs. This past 2 or 3 years has been very good. Like I was saying, you know, I did, when she can become emotional, and if she wants, I realized a few years ago that if she wants to get in my face and I don't want her to, I just start filming her. And then she'll go and leave me alone. But that's very few, that's happening a lot less in recent years.
It looks like the last time there was police contact was in August of 22.
Yeah.
Is that the last time?
We were just having a verbal argument.
But that's the last time.
That was the last time. There was nothing. Yeah, there was nothing. We were literally just talking in raised voices. Her daughter heard us and confronted us, saw that everything was fine, and then reported it anyway.
And in that case, there's a note by the officer that the issue in that situation was you were arguing because you wanted to go to rehab?
No.
Okay, I'm just saying this is what's in the officer's notes.
I understand. I read it.
Okay.
I read through
so,
this.
Yeah,
no,
so
we, the argument that we had been having that night was that I was considering removing alcohol from my life, and she was upset about that because she didn't want to lose her drinking buddy. I never wanted to go to rehab. I didn't want to go to the hospital or anything. I just said, you know, we're doing this kind of too much. It's not really fun anymore. Let's just stop. That was the argument that we were having, that her daughter called the police on us about.
Well, she heard it that the daughter at the time lived next door?
She lived a street away. So she was out walking her dog in our neighborhood.
My just concern is that just the rehab portion of that. Was
I
that
wasn't, time? No, okay. I didn't go to rehab. I didn't want to go to rehab. I didn't need to go to rehab. It was literally just, and it wasn't just about me. I was saying it for her sake as well. I still wish she would quit drinking. I did stop drinking it, not long after that. I still wish she would, but, you know, that was what the argument was about.
Are you drinking now?
No. And to be clear, like, when I was talking about quitting drinking, it's not because, you know, it wasn't a problem. It was just becoming more of a habit, and it was no longer giving me any pleasure, and I just wanted to cut it out of my life, and I still think she should too.
Are you married?
No.
Do you, and just the one child in common, or?
We have no children.
Okay, so the person
has,
that called.
She has two children.
Okay, the person that called was her daughter from another relationship.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Town, does the town have questions for him?
We sort of jumped around a little bit there, I'm sure.
Sure, I'll ask a few questions. Actually, you just asked one of the ones I was going to ask. At the time when you applied originally, a couple years ago, you said you had alcohol usage had lowered, I guess, scaled back a little bit. So you're saying now you're not drinking at all anymore. What's since when?
I think in August it'll be 3 years.
And you would say that was the biggest issue?
I mean, no.
With everything, or is that?
No, I mean, it was. No, I've been trying to make positive changes in my life over the past 2 years. Drinking was no longer giving me any satisfaction. It was just more of a bad habit, in my opinion. I quit smoking. You know, I'm getting more exercise. Just little things. I can see myself getting older, and I've been trying to improve myself and just making these small choices to better myself. You know, alcohol wasn't like it wasn't a huge issue. It was just, you know, I'd be cracking a beer after I get home from work, and it's like, why am I even doing this, you know? And now I have seltzer, so. I don't miss it at all. I don't, you know, I don't go to AA. I don't know. It's strange. When I did go to AA, they always said it gets worse if you go, but in my experience, you know, when I was drinking like a lunatic, I had all these emotions and feelings to process. My mother had just died. I hadn't dealt with it, but I feel like after I dealt with all of that and matured a bit, I became a lot more responsible. You know, I haven't had any alcohol related. I know you guys write it down every time you talk to me that there's odor, alcohol, and whatever, but I don't, it hasn't been a problem for me.
Also, when we talked originally, when you first applied, you said one of your reasons for applying for the permit and being able to carry firearms was for job and employment purposes.
Yeah, I had,
I was going to finish real quick.
Oh, sure, I thought you were finished.
So with that company, that was for Ace Security, correct?
Ace Security, yeah.
Are you still working for them?
I am not.
You're not?
No.
Can you tell me what happened there?
Well, I mean, you know, I had thought of it as sort of a stepping stone. Because of the larceny charge, I find it very hard to find employment anywhere. And so for a long time after I left Electric Boat, I was just doing odd jobs and...
I think he's asking you what happened with the job. Did you leave voluntarily?
I left voluntarily, yes. I left voluntarily.
Did they ask you to leave or...
No, they didn't ask me to leave. No. No, I, you know, I had been working for a long time for all these random contractors, and I just wanted something more solid that I could put on a resume. And now I can say, I was at Ace Security for 3 years. I showed up every day, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's. I never took a day off. And I just thought that, you know, if I followed in that career path, that if I got, I could then get a job in armed security and maybe sit in the back of a armored car holding a shotgun, I could make a couple more bucks an hour or something.
When did you, after you left Ace Security, where did you go?
I went to the Andrea.
What's that?
That is a seaside bar and grill.
Okay. And how long between the time you left Ace Security?
About a month.
So you left Ace with no job?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I interrupted. You kind of go off on tangents.
I understand that.
You know, down.
I know.
There's a lot of people waiting behind.
I know that. I understand. I went to work at the Andrea. It's seasonal. We're starting up again in a couple weeks. I've just recently been hired at the post office. I'm working there one day a week. I hope I can get my own route someday. But initially, I had applied for my pistol permit because I thought that I could make more money doing armed security.
Are you working now?
Yes. At the post office.
I'm sorry again. Your witness.
When you left there, was it on good terms? You left good terms, or how can you describe that? How?
I mean.
What prompted you to exit? I mean, you expressed to me last time we talked when we had the interview that you were really looking forward to this. You just said now, you know, you were looking for a nice steady job. You know, you felt good. You're getting on the right track doing it. What turned you around to leave so quickly?
I mean, 3 years isn't quickly.
Well, from the time
I could tell, you know, when I applied for the pistol permit, I'd been with them maybe 6 months. You know, another 2.5 years, I figured I wasn't going to get it. And I was making minimum wage there. I decided to leave.
It wasn't because they discovered that you were doing something or not living up to your job standards properly, or, you know, there was no bedroll, or you worked the overnight there, correct?
Yeah, worked the overnight there.
Yeah, so you were not, didn't have a pillow and a bed.
No, I had a pillow. Property. I had a pillow.
Right.
Yeah.
And when they discovered it, how did you react to it?
I told my boss about it. I immediately reported it to her. I said some of my things are missing. I reported it to her, and, she gave me a bit of a hard time about it, and I just realized it was, you know, time to leave. I was making minimum wage, you know? And I had taken the job, too, because, you know, it was very easy. You know, I just had to answer alarms and just be there overnight. They said I could do whatever I want otherwise. So, you know, they didn't like that I had a pillow. And I... You know, I told my boss about it right away. She kind of gave me a hard time about it, but she didn't ask me to leave. She, you know, okay. Said, oh, this pillow kind of makes us look bad, I guess. But, you know, it's not like everybody else at that facility has a bed there, you know.
She gave you the hard time. It wasn't the opposite.
No.
You just said.
No. No, not at all. And it, you know, it. I reported it to her right away.
What do you mean you reported it to her? That you were sleeping on the job?
No. I reported that some of my things had been stolen.
Because another employee found your bedroll or...
It turns out it was her who took it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I got it.
But I mean...
That's good.
Yeah.
Do you have other questions for him?
No, I'll save it for...
Questions from the board?
I just want to be clear. When was the last time you had any drink, one sip, anything?
It'll be 3 years in August, I believe.
Okay, because you made statements that the alcohol hasn't been a problem for you, but it has been your entire life up until maybe then.
I wouldn't say so, no. I would say that when I...
You watched.
I did, yeah, until then, but that was 2009.
Whatever.
You know, it wasn't a problem after that. It really wasn't.
Domestics involving alcohol when you're both drunk?
Again...
That's a problem.
But it's not because of my drinking. It really is not. I wish...
So the drinking was just there, but it had nothing to do with the domestic?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, when I was drinking...
After your treatment, did they say it was okay to drink? After your inpatient treatment, go ahead and continue drinking?
I mean, no, it wasn't really like that, no.
No, they would have said no.
I mean, when I was there, one of the things that separated me sort of from all the rest of the guys was, you know, they would swear up and down, oh, I'm never going to drink again, I'm never going to use it, blah, blah, blah. I was 21 years old, so I didn't think that was a realistic goal. So I always figured that I probably would eventually. And I just resolved that when I did, I would do it responsibly.
How do you think now? It's been 3 years. Do you think you probably will again?
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, I don't miss it. I really don't. I don't miss it at all. I work at a bar.
Okay.
I don't like being around drunk people.
You've answered my question. Thank you.
Okay.
Any other questions from the board?
When's the last time you've been in trouble with the law?
I haven't been convicted of any crime since 2009.
That's not what he asked you, though.
Last involvement, interaction.
The last interaction?
Yep.
The last interaction I had was when the Stonington police brought Jennifer's son home because they caught him trying to buy vapes.
When was that?
About 6 months ago.
Okay. When's the last time it was about you?
It was about me in that time in 2022 when the daughter called about us having an argument.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board?
I got pulled over once for having a headlight out.
Thank you.
Final statement? I'm sorry, the appellant goes first, the final statement? Your final statement.
Do you have a closing argument or anything you'd like to say to wrap it up?
I was reading through this, which Mr. Stamatine gave me, and it's so unfair, you know, not just to me, but, you know, there's a whole new police force now, and I feel like whenever I have to deal with them, and they come to see me and they see this, they think they're dealing with a lunatic before they even get there. And that just couldn't be further from the truth. I don't think this is really helping anyone at this point.
Wait, talk to us.
I mean, are you guys going to go over this?
We've reviewed all of it, all the paperwork.
Oh, okay. I mean, you know, just, I don't know what else to say. I've done my very best to stay out of trouble. I've never been convicted of a violent crime. I haven't been convicted of any crime since 2009. The larceny, I don't know if that comes into your decision making at all. Does it?
We consider the whole record.
I mean, I didn't steal anything. My probation officer for the DUIs, he told me that if I said that I did the larceny, that it would go away if I stayed out of trouble for a year, and I believed him, and I really think that's held me back a lot in my life. I am not a thief. You can call the victim. She was sorry. She filed the report the next day. I guess that's it.
Okay, thank you. And your final statement?
Since I apologize for the procedural, my mistake. And also like to say, our police department, I'd like to say this, gentlemen, we don't have anything personal against the appellate. We vote for a good story too. We want someone to recover. We want someone to keep it good. We want to support those people also. So I just want to get that out of the way. As far as this, the appellate and the body, I didn't put that stuff in his record. He did. And we did not do that. With that said, we took the total of it. It would also take into account references, some provided by him, some that we reached out to on our own. And the reason I asked him about his last employment at the time when he applied was his supervisor at the time gave a pretty good glowing reference for him, statement. In talking to her recently, she says, she wished she had called after they separated employment. It didn't go well. She says a temper was exposed at that point. He lashed out at her. And she really wasn't comfortable giving me that because she's afraid of retaliation at this point. So that along with the totality, the behavior displayed, the erraticness, irrational at times, is the reason why we denied issuing.
Thank you. Summary?
So this is a denial by the Stonington Police Department. The denial's for suitability. The basis of their denial was a history with the appellant, dating back to when he was a juvenile with their police encounters. He has two convictions on his record. It looks like for a larceny, DUI conviction, and the appellant put down a minor marijuana issue in Rhode Island. There was a 2009 emergency committal that was discussed. The appellant was the subject of a protective restraining order in 2016 from a domestic violence incident with his girlfriend at the time. There was another incident in 2014 that was discussed regarding a breach of peace / fight incident that had occurred between himself and visitors to his home. The most recent incident was a verbal domestic in August of 22 between the appellant and his girlfriend.
Thank you. Comments by the board? Excuse me.
Can I say one more thing?
We're sort of done with that. Yeah.
Comments by the board?
The larceny, the minor marijuana charge, it doesn't play a role in the decision making at all for me, to be honest. And what I'm looking at is the probably the most recent incident in August of 22. There's still the incidents you've had in the past were with a specific female. You still have a relationship with that specific female.
I understand
and,
that.
This is what I'm concerned about, is you're still in a current relationship with that female, and, 2.5 years ago, and even though it was a verbal domestic only, there's still concerns regarding alcohol there, and whether it's her use, your use, the chief brought it up, and maybe you don't see it, I see it as alcohol, a DUI. You were drinking in the 2014 incident with the fight. There was alcohol involved in the 2016 domestic. And I would just like to see a little longer history with no issues. And
if I hadn't been drinking,
And to see.
You should listen.
And to see if there was. I would feel better off if you were in AA or some type of program. That's just my view and how it's leading me to vote a certain way.
Okay, let's have a vote. Detective Johnson?
Are there other people?
Are there other comments? I thought there were. Detective Johnson?
Fish on authority.
Chief Hawkinsweek? Colonel
Lewis? Fish on authority.
Colonel Overturf?
Issue on authority.
Dr. Conrad?
Issuing authority at this time.
Mr. Gregg?
Issuing authority at this time.
I say issuing authority.
So who do I appeal to?